So segueing from that, I was, you know, guess it was Valentine's Day this week, right? And I was just meditating on the love of God. And I'm always asking God, what do you want to say to your people? And I started to meditate on, you know, the 1 Corinthians 13 passage, which obviously, good one. Love is patient. I didn't get any further than that. Love is patient. And, you know, I remember that John said, God is love. And the Holy Spirit has poured his love into our hearts. Okay? And so, God is patient. Also, God is patient. And I started just to think of my life and how often I saw God's patience. And realized that if the love of God is poured in through the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is God, and he must be the one who works out patience in me, right? Because it's his love. God is love. We have God living on the inside of us. And I started to look at the scriptures on patience, and the sermon I've come to identify as, it's the patience of Christ, or the patience of Holy Spirit. I don't want to focus on us, although it's a natural byproduct. We love because he first loved us. If we receive his love, then we can love others. But I want to focus on patience, not on this, that we need to be patient. Everybody knows we need to be patient. And you never pray for patience, because what's going to happen? Right, you're going to have trials. So I want to focus on the patience of Christ and how much he puts up with us and how patient he is and some of the things we experience as he's patient, because patience has two parts to it, and I'll give them to you right now. And it applies to you too, because we are made in the image of God. So there are two words for patience in the New Testament. One of them, you know probably well, is hupomone. Literally means to remain under. Okay, so it's endurance and perseverance. And it says that God is patient. Jesus Christ is patient. His great patience with me, Paul says. So the first thing is he puts up with us. He endures. He perseveres. His love is steadfast. He never says, I don't love you anymore. Okay, he's always loving us, and he's always choosing to love us because he's patient. Okay, and so there's that component of endurance, and then there's the other one, which is macrothumia. Macrothumia, okay, which literally means slow to anger. Okay, so there are two different aspects of patience. Slow to anger, you're not looking to revenge or get even with someone. You're quick to forgive, okay? But you're also willing to endure through the trials, through the difficulties, until you achieve the goal intended, okay? That's what Holy Spirit does. He's our helper. He's the one who comes alongside, literally, and walks with us through life. And I want to look at that. I want to look at, first of all, what does the scripture say about God's patience? And then I want us to look at Holy Spirit is the one who exercises and shows us God's patience in our life. Okay? And so Romans 2:4. I have all these. I don't know if you want to write them down or you want me to wait so you get to them. If not, I'll just kind of name them and read them. Romans 2:4. Don't you realize how kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? And I'm using the New Living Translation. Okay, I just want to encourage you that God is patient with you. Or don't you care? Can't you see how kind he has been in giving you time to turn from your sin? That's Romans 2:4 in the New Living Translation. Don't you realize how kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Don't you care? Can't you see how kind he has been in giving you time to turn from your sin? What a great picture of God. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, so he's giving more time for everyone to repent. Okay? He's writing to the elect, the chosen, and he's saying, I'm waiting for everyone to come in who is called by my name to come into the kingdom. That's why he's not come back yet. He's patiently waiting for those he's called and appointed to turn to him. Or maybe he's waiting for us who are in our stubbornness, we just don't get it, and we won't surrender our lives to him. And we're this close to making it or this close to not making it. And he's waiting for us to finally make a decision. So there are many reasons why the Lord Jesus has not showed up yet. Why? Because he's patient. 2 Peter 3:15. Remember, the Lord is waiting so that people have time to be saved. This is just as our beloved brother Paul wrote to you in the wisdom God gave him. 2 Peter 3:15 in the NIV. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. What happened if Jesus came back before you got saved?
Spend eternity in hell.
Right. We better be really thankful that he's patient. 1 Timothy 1:12. Let's go there. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. This is Paul talking about himself. 1 Timothy 1:12. How thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for considering me trustworthy and appointing me to serve him. Even though I used to scoff at the name of Christ. Now when I read this, I think of myself. I just see myself. I didn't hunt down his people, but I sure criticized them, harming them in every way I could. Did you used to make fun of Christians?
Yeah.
Now you are one. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how kind and gracious the Lord was. He filled me completely with faith and the love of Christ Jesus. This is a true saying, and everyone should believe it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst of them all. But that is why God had mercy on me. Listen to this. So that Jesus Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize too, through my life, through my testimony, through God's patience in me, others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. And then he just bursts out in praise, says, glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the eternal king, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. So he's just meditating on how gracious and kind and patient God is with him. And he bursts out in this song in thanksgiving. And that's what I want us to get today. I want us to get to a place where, God, I can't believe you chose me. And I can't believe that you're actually that patient with me. As I continue to do the same thing over and over again, and I open my mouth, and what I want to come out doesn't come out, it comes out what I don't want to come out. Yeah, right? You try to bite your tongue and bleh. How do you get patience? The Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22, in the New Living Translation says this. Galatians 5:22. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience. Where does patience come from? It comes from God. God is patient. His love poured into us produces love characteristics, which include patience. Okay? When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience. Macrothumia, you're slow to anger, you have patience with others, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and the rest. Okay? Slow to anger. Ask yourself, do I get angry easily? Do I forgive easily? Am I putting up with others the way they're putting up with me? Who does this in us? The Holy Spirit. And I want to focus on this. God made it very clear to me this week, we need to focus on Holy Spirit. We need to get to know Holy Spirit. We need to spend time with Holy Spirit. We need to listen to his voice. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's the one living in us. Okay? And he's the one who's going to equip us and train us and transform us. And let me go first to Hebrews 12, because it's on my heart right now, and God wants to really get this in us. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Hebrews 12. Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive your teaching today. We receive your word implanted in us. We thank you that it is powerful and effective, instructs, encourages, transforms, does its work in us to all who receive it. And Lord, we give you permission today to come and tell us and teach us and equip us in the things you want us to know so that we might look more like Christ. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. And that is the point. The point of all of this is we have been chosen to be transformed into the image of God. Okay? Romans 8:29. We are destined to be conformed to the image of the Son. That's what salvation and sanctification is all about, is us becoming more like Jesus every day. How does he do that? He gives us Holy Spirit to make us holy. So Hebrews 12 is a fascinating passage. These are persecuted Christians who are going through stuff we'll never go through, probably. If we do, you're going to need to spend the rest of your life in this book, because it tells you how to get through life when it's really tough. Let's do Hebrews 12, verse 3. He's talking about Jesus. Consider Jesus, Hebrews 12, 3, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Who's your model? The one you're going to be transformed like right. into. Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith, right? He's the one you need to look like. He's the one that Holy Spirit is making you look like. Who has the Son will walk like him. That's what John says. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. Stop complaining about how hard life is. You haven't given your life up yet. You haven't been, beaten and put on a cross yet. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. This is really fascinating. It's an aspect of God's love and patience for us that we probably never think about. Our default is, why am I going through such a hard time? Why is life so hard? Why can I never get ahead? Because you haven't learned what God wants you to learn. You haven't submitted to his discipline yet. Right? When you get it, what he wants to teach you, when you finally get it and get it in here and start to walk it out, then watch your life turn. Okay? It's about becoming more like Jesus. And listen, I don't care how old you are. There's always something God's trying to work on. Okay? So pay attention. Well, I heard this sermon before. I don't need it. I'm fine. I'm fine the way I am. I got nothing wrong. Jesus is perfected in me. Well, let's let the Holy Spirit deal with pride. So, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, if you're a child of God, discipline comes with it. You can't be a son of a father without discipline. He will say, furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Okay, we respected our fathers. We submitted to their authority and let them discipline us. They disciplined us for a short time, verse 10, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. That's the purpose of discipline. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Holiness, righteousness. Therefore, straighten the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. It's so hard. God, I can't take anymore. Just think of what you're going to be when I'm done with you. Okay, that's what you got to focus on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Okay, holiness, righteousness, sanctification. That's the work of Holy Spirit in you. Are you getting it? Now, this is the beautiful thing that God wants you to know this morning. Holy Spirit is in you to perform holiness, righteousness, and sanctification. And because he is love, he is patient. Okay? He will not destroy you. He will not give you more than you can handle. He'll give you what you think you can't handle and give you the power to handle it. Okay? It doesn't say he won't give you more than you can handle. It says, what does it say? Do you know it? Anyone?
When you are tempted, he will prepare. He will
always provide a way out. So, it's not more than you can handle. You're still working towards the way out. You can handle it. I don't believe, we use that scripture all the time. No, you can handle it. If you can't handle it, then you're walking in the flesh. Through Christ, I can do all things, right? According to the power that's working in me. So, I want you to go to the book of John. And I want us to see something. We're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. John 14. God is patient. Christ is patient with you. That was the groundwork we laid. There's lots of scriptures I can show you where God is patient. Holy Spirit is patient. Jesus Christ is patient with you until you're conformed to His image. That the whole process of life is conforming to His image. So John 14, 16, and I've chosen New Living Translation because they're really simple. John 14, 16 says this, I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, and He will give you another counselor. The word counselor, Parakletos, means teacher, helper, encourager, and a whole bunch of other words. This one word literally means to walk alongside. I'm not here anymore, guys. And he's mainly talking to his disciples, but he's talking to all of us. I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going up to heaven. But I'm not leaving. I will be with you always. Okay? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you. Jesus is always with you. How is he always with you? In the person of Holy Spirit. And what's the role of the Holy Spirit? He's the paraclete. He's the one who walks alongside you, literally, to help you, to counsel you, to teach you, and to guide you. Okay? Let me say those again. To counsel, teach, help, and guide. Now, let's think about those four words. Counselor, teacher, helper, guide. All of those ministries involve patience with people. Okay? Every single one of them. Any counselors in the room? I got two of them that I know of. You ever get impatient with people? Then it's not. It's you doing the counseling, right? It's easy to get impatient with people when you're counseling with them. But if Holy Spirit's doing the counseling, which He is in us, what does a counselor do? He listens to your complaints, or she listens to your complaints. And they might, I mean, secular counselors don't do this anymore. They just kind of validate everything you're feeling. But a true Christian, born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-led counselor will listen to your complaint and give you the Word of God to bring transformation so that you stop walking in that thought process, those decisions and actions that keep bringing the same repetitive behavior and outcomes, okay? A counselor is one who counsels. They give you counsel. Okay? They give you counsel. Now, here's the thing a counselor, a secular counselor, or even a Christian counselor can't do. They can't discipline you so you get it. Okay? Counselors, you probably want to discipline. But listen, when I was in counseling classes in seminary and Bible school, I had a very good counselor. He's very well respected in the Christian community. And he said, for pastoral counseling, you never counsel someone more than 4 or 5 times. If they don't get it, they got to go suffer the consequences of their choices. Because if they don't, they'll just keep coming to you for the Band-Aid, right? But at some point, they need to get it. That's a little tidbit, free tidbit for you guys who are counselors. And for anyone who's trying to counsel a friend, you need to let that person go and experience the discipline of the Lord, because what does the discipline of the Lord do? It produces holiness and righteousness. Okay? So, a counselor is one who points out the issue and calls someone up to the higher calling. Okay? Now, these words, macrothumia and endurance and slow to anger, they always have an intended result. You're always going towards something. When you counsel, teach, help, or guide, you always have a direction you're going. You are walking with the person till they get to that destination, right? That's the definition of these titles. That's what Holy Spirit does. He walks with us to get us to the destination of looking more like Christ. So he's a teacher. Well, this is obvious. Literally, John says, who wrote this, John the gospel says, you don't need anyone to teach you. You have the anointing. What's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. You have Holy Spirit. How many of us listen to Holy Spirit and say, and humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want you to teach me on this area. I have an area in my life and you know, my mouth just keeps going and it's always offending, it's always hurting, it's slandering and gossiping, and I wish you'd stop it and I can't stop it. And listen, son, I want to tell you something. Go ahead, Holy Spirit. I want to hear. Just quiet down. Just quiet down. Let Holy Spirit talk to you. Let Him remind you. Let you know you want to be free of that. Let Him work in you. Let Him teach you. Let Him bring you to the Scriptures. Okay, He's a teacher. He's a counselor. He's going to do the work. He loves you like a crazy love, and He knows where you're going, and He knows how to get you there. Okay, so it's about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, which I read, I'll ask the Father, He will give you another counselor who will never leave you. What is 14:17? He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Okay? He leads into all truth. He'll lead you into the truth, not only about yourself, but the truth about where you need to be. And He's God in you, and He's able to get you to the place you need to be. So we just, what do we need to do? Surrender. Okay? Is anybody being convicted of things that God wants to do in them? Well, you should be. I am. John 14:23. All those who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and live with them. This is the remarkable thing about Christianity. True Christianity, where you follow Jesus, don't just go to church, okay? Is that you're born again by the Spirit of God, and God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, live inside of you. Okay? We will make our home in them. We will come to them and live with them. We've already established Holy Spirit with the Father and Jesus say, we will come also. Okay? You can't fail when you got God on your side. You can't. You're going to get there. Why? Because God is patient. And He's going to work on you. And He's going to make you more like Jesus. John 14:26. When the Father sends a counselor, which means helper, teacher, comforter, advocate, one who fights on your behalf, the intercessor, literally one who intercedes to the Father on your behalf, as my representative, by the counselor, I mean Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I myself have taught you, I've told you. So He's talking to His disciples. They don't have the Bible yet. They're going to go write the Bible. This is really for them. Okay? Holy Spirit's going to bring back all the teaching that Jesus taught. And they're going to write it down. They're going to write the Bible. So, really, we have it pretty easy. We just have to open our Bible up. Now, how many Christians don't even open their Bible up? Okay. How many Christians don't even, like, they don't meditate with the Word of God? They don't let the Word of God just start to transform them.
And then wonder why they're not in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah, right. And they go, it's just a cycle. Like, you know, they choose lots of other things over reading the Word or going to church or sitting under a sermon, but they never grow. And they go like this in their life, right? And they can't see it until maybe Holy Spirit will tell them, or someone who's led by the Spirit of God will say, you should spend more time with Jesus, right? And that's being part of the body of Christ. Anyway, I digress a little bit. John 14:26, which I read, He will teach you everything. He will teach you everything. He will teach you everything. John writes, what does he write? I just said it in 1 John 2. You don't need anyone to teach you. You have the anointing. You really want to get to know Jesus? Stop. Get off the internet. Stop listening to sermons. Sit with your Bible open and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Watch your life take off. Open your ears, get rid of the distractions, and let Holy Spirit teach you and guide you and equip you and reveal what's going on in you. And watch your life take off. Watch your Christianity grow. Watch you fall in love with Jesus more when you start to hear His voice. John 15:26. I will send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will tell you all about me. Tell others about me because you have been with me from the beginning. So he's talking to his disciples. But he's the Spirit of Truth. Okay, the only thing he's going to tell you is truth. The truth that God wants you to know. John 16. Let's go there. When the Spirit of Truth comes, John 16:13, he will guide you into all truth. What is a guide? He's a teacher. He's a counselor. He's a helper, one who helps when we need help. But he's a guide. What does a guide do? A guide is someone who takes you to the destination you're looking for. Right? You want to see something, you hire a guide, and they'll take you and show you the sights. They'll show you that thing you want to see. What do you want to see in your Christian life? Maybe that's the first problem. Do I want to see Christ formed in me? Right? That Paul says that. Christ formed in me. Galatians 4, I believe. That is the goal of the Christian life. Till Christ is formed in me. Till I am conformed to the image of Christ. There's only one way to get there. That's to let Christ rule in your heart. To let him lead you, guide you, counsel you, and transform you into his likeness. And there's only one message here. God is patient. He's in you. And he's going to walk with you and get you there. Cooperate. Spend time with him. And you'll hear his voice. And he'll say, Mike, you know, there's this little thing I just want you to know. First of all, you know, remember David? I think it's Psalm 51. And he's confessing before the Lord. And Nathan has come to him and said, you know, you're a sinner. You made a huge error with Bathsheba. And he feels the weight of his sin. And he pens Psalm 51. And he's just like so convicted. Oh, God, against you and you only have I sinned. And he's like, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Please, God, I need your Holy Spirit because he's the one who's going to transform me. If I don't have you in my life, I don't want to live. Okay? And I want us to get to that point of just passionate desire to spend time with God who's living on the inside of us. And let him guide you into the truth of who you are and who you need to be in Christ. And it's a beautiful relationship. You know, he's so patient. He's so kind. I just showed you the scriptures. This is who God is. Love is patient. Love is kind. He is. He's not going to blast you. But you know what? If you don't listen, he's going to bring discipline. And the discipline of any father is to get the child to learn the lesson. Okay? You get a ticket. Guess what? That's discipline. That you're going too fast. Slow down. That's just one thing. You know, and I can show you the Bible. You know, Paul was given a messenger of Satan to keep him humble. He had a pride problem because he was taken up to the third heaven. Read it, 2 Corinthians 12. Okay? We just got to realize that, why is this happening to me? It's just the Lord trying to prune me. You know, it hurts. When you start cutting branches, it's not a fun process. It's going to hurt. But there's only one reason. That's to produce more fruit. What fruit? The fruit of Christ. Okay, and so I want us, and I believe God wants us, to really get to know Holy Spirit. How much time do we spend with Holy Spirit? Who is God? How much time do we spend with God? Is he the first thing you wake up to in the morning? Do you say, like the book I read, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? I'm so glad you're with me today. I'm so glad that as I just submit to you and surrender everything to you and let you lead, and I know you're walking with me, Holy Spirit, that you're going to guide me, you're going to counsel me, you're going to teach me, and you're going to help me get through this day. I know that you're with me. I'm so thankful you're with me. And Lord, before I open my mouth, speak to me. I give you permission, speak to me, because I don't want to say anything that's going to go against Christ or your word, and I don't want to say anything that's going to offend people, because I always want to be the fragrance of Christ to people. So Lord, help me. You know, when I don't do that, when I walk in my flesh, when I let my mouth lead me, not Holy Spirit lead me. And so I just encourage you. Here's a really good practice this week. Try it with your spouse. Spouses are given to chip off stuff that God doesn't want there. Right? Iron sharpens iron. My wife is a hot iron. It doesn't even chip off. It just burns off. Okay? It's like, ouch, Mike, keep your mouth shut. Come on, God, let me have this victory, please. No. Lay down your life, Mike, lay down. There's more. You want to live? Die. Okay. Listen, just tune in. Just tune in to the Holy Spirit. He's such a gentleman. He's so kind. Right, Mary? You say that all the time. God is so kind. Yes. He's love. God is love. He's not out to kill you. He's not out to squash you and say, you useless garbage. No, there's no condemnation. He's here to build you up and encourage you. He literally, one of the pictures is, he's your helper, he's your advocate. He runs the race with you and he cheers you on. You can do it, Mike. Okay? You got to get to know Holy Spirit. If you get nothing out of this message, this is it. Get to know Holy Spirit. He's got one job. He was sent here to bring you to Christ, to make you look like Christ and to take you to Christ. So I encourage you, friends. He's a beautiful, loving person. I don't know what I'd do without him. I wouldn't be here. Okay? He's just amazing. Just to sit in his presence and allow him to speak to you. And even if he says, Mike, you know, that word you said to that person, I just want you to repent. The Holy Spirit brings repentance. He leads you to repentance. You know why? So that you learn a lesson and you look more like Jesus. That he's so amazing. And I just want to encourage you. I know some people have to leave soon, but make time for the Holy Spirit. Make time for God. Make time for Jesus and the Father and sit. And I'm going to tell you, people challenge me on this, but that's okay. Take it up with God. There's lots of scripture I can back this up with, but if you start your day with Jesus, and you start your day and maybe review the previous day and the things that went wrong and the things you shouldn't have done, and Holy Spirit's telling you and pointing stuff out, if you start your day with God, your day will be different. Okay? Like, you can't go on a journey without inviting your helper and your counselor and your guide and your teacher. That's what he wants to be. But a lot of people just go when they leave him at home. That's not a Christian. Because he's not at home. He's here. He just needs to come out. All right? You all get it. You all get what I'm saying. I'm learning it too. So I'm not beating on you. I'm just realizing how wonderful God is. And how awesome, how much he loves me. It's so amazing. Can't even, you know, you think the cross is something. You think, oh my goodness, Jesus, you did that. You know, with the man we read, John 18 and 19, and it's like, Jesus, you endured so much for me. You love me so much, you laid down your life. Yeah, that's not enough. It's not enough. I want more than just paying for your sins. I want to live my life through you. Okay? I'm willing to go even beyond. I'm willing to condescend. My destination was never the cross. My destination was your heart. Okay? I gotta clean you up. And if you're gonna walk with me, just let me clean you up. Because I want people to see me in you. That's what Jesus is saying. Let's pray. Oh God, we surrender all, Lord. We surrender everything. All our thoughts, all our emotions, our desires, everything, Lord, that is of us, we just lay it down. God, we want you above all things. We want you to be magnified in our lives. We want people to see you, Lord. We're not the Savior of the world. You are. We're never going to save or correct or change our family members. You are, Lord. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come now. And we enthrone you in our hearts. Your word says, the Spirit is Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Lord, some of us in this room, we just need to be freed from these things that are harassing us and bugging us and these patterns and behaviors we just keep repeating. Lord, we want to be free, and we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we invite you in, Holy Spirit, just to take over. We surrender for your glory, that Christ might be magnified, that we might imitate him and be more like him. Do it, Lord. I pray every heart here would just be an open invitation for you to take up residence permanently for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. I really encourage you to sit. I'm discovering this myself, too. Just sit and meditate. And, you know, meditate on who he is. Oh, man. God is so amazing. You can spend the rest of your life. John, I love the gospel of John. It's the gospel of love. But he said this. He said, man, I could write and write and write, and there wouldn't be enough libraries in all the world to contain everything I could write. Because God is just so awesome.